client, Steel & Wire v. United States. Mr. House, please proceed.
May it please the court, good morning. This case involves an anti-dumping duty order issued nearly a decade ago that was premised entirely on a foreign government subsidized financial statement, which unlawfully distorted normal value. This court has heard this case once before. In that earlier decision.
Okay, so there, your case comes down to a couple of things, and can you summarize for me what you think the key flaws are in what Commerce did below? I don't really need you to say what we did in the last decision. What I mean by it is one of them has to do with subsidies, right?
Correct.
Why don't you start with that, if you don't mind?
Sure.
Like the error that you perceive in Commerce's failure to take into account that the two things that it did rely on both potentially had subsidy problems as well, and they didn't explain why that it's okay to rely on them when they excluded other data because of subsidy problems. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, Your Honor, generally speaking, the record contains 11 financial statements. The Commerce Department originally threw out 10 of them and relied on one, a company that is subsidized, to an unknown degree. In the courts.
Which one was that? Tell me which one.
High Tech was the name of the company.
Okay.
When this case came before the court the first time, Your Honors decided in your decision that Commerce's reliance on that High Tech statement, which was indisputably subsidized, was contrary to the agency's duty of accuracy and fairness. More specifically, the error that this court remanded the case on was Commerce's failure to comparatively analyze, to gauge the effect of that subsidy on the High Tech statement, and then to comparatively analyze that deficiency against the comparative deficiencies of the other 10 statements on the record.
But that's last time. And this time, is that the same error? Is your error that Commerce absolutely failed to do the requisite subsidy analysis here? They just didn't do it. It's like almost like a Chenery problem, right? Like we can't review what they didn't do. Is that what it is?
Yes, Your Honor. They failed to do so. They explicitly refused to analyze the nature and degree of the subsidies of the
because
two.
Because the problem you have is the degree is infinitesimal. I mean, at least the record evidence would suggest it's really small and is unlikely to have any significant, it seems to me, impact on the ultimate question they're deciding. But if your issue is a failure to do the analysis, I think you might be right, but I don't know. I don't love vacating and remanding for busy work when the outcome is not going to be favorable for your client. It just causes you more work, costs them more money. So tell me if you tell me, well, it doesn't matter if it's infinitesimal, it doesn't matter if it comes out the same way, they have to do the analysis, I think you might be right. But go ahead, tell me what your thoughts
yes,
are.
Yes, Your Honor. The agency failed to analyze that subsidy. And while there's a figure on the record about a subsidy reflected in that financial statement of Sundrum, the other company.
Is that confidential, by the way, or is it not confidential?
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Is that confidential or not?
It's not.
Okay. So it is like less than 0.02% of the revenues, right?
Your Honor, there are a couple of problems.
How does that by itself pass the harmless error?
Well, Your Honor, the Commerce Department did not engage in that analysis. They never referred to
Commerce did not say, this is so small, we're not going to worry about it. And even aside from that, it didn't redo the comparative analysis, not to High Tech, but between Suntrum and, to pick out one, Al Jazeera.
Well, as we pointed out,
and I'm just going to consistently put LSI aside. I realize you would love LSI, but I'm going to put that aside.
Thank you, Your Honor. The situation we face today is far worse than what we faced with High Tech, because Sundrum, the company that they've now selected, is one that they've repeatedly determined has no comparable products to Oman Fasteners, steel nails, or even screws.
Did Commerce say anything about why the difference between Sundrum and Oman product is of a different character than the difference between Al Jazeera and Oman products?
Yes, Your Honor. The record shows that Commerce acknowledged that Sundrum is an auto parts manufacturer. And there's plenty of evidence in the record to support its conclusion that the auto parts made by Sundrum are not comparable to those of, to any products that Oman Fasteners produces. And
but,
that is
but
what
I think,
Commerce...
Hold on, I think, I don't, I'm not certain, maybe Judge Strong is better than I am about whether that answers his question. I think his
not
question...
Quite. Huh? Not quite.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So I guess the question was more along the lines of, did they do an analysis to show why Sundrum and Oman comparison is okay, but Al-Ghazar, I don't know if I'm saying it right. Am I saying that right? How do you say it?
It's Al Jazeera. It's the television people.
Al Jazeera is one of the
same company.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. Yes, Al Jazeera is one of the six home market statements on the record. Not the only one, but one of the six home market
statements. And they make some steel pipes or something? Or?
Correct.
And I guess the question I thought that Judge Toronto was asking, which is one that I'm also curious about, is... did Commerce do the legwork of showing why Sundrum was okay, but Al-Ghazir was not? Given that none of them are exactly the same product. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes, Your Honor. And the answer is no, they did not. In the original investigation, they threw out Sundrum on the precise basis that they threw out all of the home market statements. In fact, you can find they lumped in Sundrum and said, just as with the home market financial statements, it produces no comparable merchandise.
So there may be an answer to why one that isn't the same product but not the other, but Commerce hasn't given it yet, and we are not, as an appellate court, in a position to render fact findings about comparability in the first instance.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And so I'm just making sure I'm summarizing accurately what you're arguing to us. You're not asking us to go that extra step and decide they should have looked at something, because how do I know whether steel bar, you know, like these different, I'm not in a position to make that kind of nuanced fact finding. And you appreciate that, right?
Yes, we agree, Your Honor. This court should not be in that position. It's the agency's duty in the first instance. And that was reflected in this court's remand. It instructed the agency to engage in that very kind of comparative analysis of the selected subsidized statement against all the other statements on the record, home market, the other third country statements, and the selected subsidized statements. We do not have that on this remand.
Okay, so I think I understand these two arguments, both your subsidy argument and your comparability argument. Was there anything else that you needed to address?
Well, Your Honor, we did raise also the issue of the potential for reopening the record. The Commerce Department refused to do so during this first remand.
Is this what you're talking about because of the partially translated documents?
Your Honor, we think there are many reasons why the record should have been reopened.
I didn't ask that. I'm just asking you to help me put in context how I understand your briefs. One of the issues that you argued was that there were partially translated documents and Commerce should have reopened the record to let you submit them, fully translated? Is that right?
Your Honor, our overarching argument is that Commerce, as this court stated, should have chosen to reopen the record if it concluded that it did not have enough information to engage in the kind of comparative analysis that you ordered it to do.
Well, it seems to think it did have enough information because it went ahead and came to a conclusion, but it seems to have jumped over the step of actually explaining it.
Well, Your Honor, if they had engaged in the kind of analysis that this court instructed them to do, they would have looked into the subsidy of the Sundrum statement. They would have, they had no information on the record as the subsidy of the high-tech statement. And they would have then done a comparative analysis of those deficiencies with, as well as the comparability question.
So let me ask you this. Suppose that I generally have a very deferential approach to Commerce's decision when somebody has failed to meet their burden of submitting a fully translated document and then they want to come along later and eradicate or fix that problem. I'm very sympathetic and, you know, I have to review a decision by Commerce in those circumstances under an extremely deferential standard. So would it be absolutely necessary for them? Would they be required to? Why on remand, if I remand this case because I have a problem with Commerce not articulating about subsidies and comparability and all that, Why do I have to find in your favor on that last question? I don't see why.
Your Honor, we're not relitigating that issue. We argued that issue in our original appeal. The court addressed the question of what the regulations of commerce required of parties with regard to the submission of fully translated financial statements. That's not what we're here to argue today. And in fact, in the court's decision the first time around when it was dealing with that issue, as well as the home market statements, it made clear that it was addressing those issues aside from the question of subsidies. Subsidies was addressed as an independent and very serious concern by the court, and we agree with that. So when this case goes back to Commerce, as it should, to conduct the kind of analysis that it should, this is not just about the LSI statement. It's about all of the statements in the record. We continue to submit that on a comparative basis, some of the home market statements, in a full analysis, which the agency hasn't done, we submit that it should find that some of the home market statements have fewer deficiencies or less distortive.
We can't make any of those decisions. I mean, we vacate and remand. I mean, the only question is for us to identify errors that clearly we have to tell Commerce to fix. You've put really well done, put forth two clear ones, which is great. But the third one that has to do with Commerce, what Commerce should or shouldn't be willing to consider, especially if it was either filed late, if it was untimely, if it was not translated.
Yes, Your Honor. We're not.
You don't have me on that one.
We're not here to relitigate the question of our efforts to submit the fully translated LSI statement in the original investigation. That's a settled issue from the original decision by this court. What we are here to argue is that the agency did not engage on this record, given the distortive effect of subsidies on the two financial statements, did not engage in the kind of comparative analysis that you instructed it to do. And it made matters worse, we would submit, because it abandoned the high-tech statement, which has an unknown amount of subsidies, and selected a statement, and which, by the way, produces products that are much more similar to Oman Fasteners steel nails, and selected an auto parts company that had already held twice in proceedings in this case, produced no comparable merchandise to Oman Fasteners. And how can the agency reach that conclusion on this record without fulfilling its duty of accuracy, as you've ordered it to do, to compare those deficiencies to the home market statements that are on the record?
You want to save the time for rebuttal? You're winding down the rebuttal. Okay,
yes.
Let's do that. Let's hear from the government.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Is the government up first? Who's up first?
Yes.
Okay.
Nikki Gote for the United States. May it please the court, I'm just going to jump straight to subsidies. And prior to doing so, however, I would like the court to sustain the trial, Commerce's remand determination here. With respect to the subsidies, it is not a fair statement to say that Commerce did not look into the subsidies. Two of the 11 statements that were on the record, those of Hi-Tech and those of Sundrum's, both contained evidence of subsidies. These are third-party companies. These are not the reviewed company. They are not an interested party in this investigation. And I say that because it's important. These records were put on the record and before Commerce by the interested parties, Oman and Mid-Continent, not by Commerce. Commerce is bound to look at the record and make a determination on the record that the parties put before it. It does not do a verification of the information that are in the financial statements that are put on the record by the interested parties. All that it can do is make a determination based on the information that is contained in those records. So what did Commerce do upon remand here? Commerce engaged seriously with looking at the records of Hi-Tech and Sundrum that contained evidence of subsidies. Both of them contained evidence of potential subsidies. Now, if you're just analyzing those two companies, it's a wash because there's really not more information in the financial statements themselves for Commerce to go beyond that. Now, Your Honors asked questions regarding comparative analysis. Well, Commerce did that too on remand here. The trial court insisted that Commerce consider...
Can you show me where Commerce addressed the subsidies issue?
The subsidies issue?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yes, Your Honor.
I think 830 to 31 is the closest I see. Mm-hmm. I want to look there.
And there, Commerce says both FITEC and Sundrum have subsidies, and mm-hmm. that's pretty much all it says. And that point is not, I think, really, that's not in dispute. I thought Mr. House's argument is that at least once there's an acknowledgement of subsidies in Sundrum, Commerce is obliged to say why it would pick Sundrum over the remaining rejected, 9 or 10?
Yes, Your Honor.
It didn't do that.
Actually, it did do that.
Okay.
And it did do that on appendix page 40. And there, Your Honor, Commerce stated that it found that Sundrum's statements, and I'm summarizing here.
Don't summarize. Tell me where they did it.
Okay. Yes, Your Honor.
Is it at the very top that you're...
That's where it discusses that they acknowledged both FITEC and Sundrum received subsidies, Your Honor. And then at the paragraph beginning furthermore, which is the fifth line from the top, it discusses in the second or the next sentence, therefore, based on record evidence, we find that Sundrum's financial statements are the best option on the record for calculating CV profit and independent selling expenses because...
I thought actually you were going to read the second sentence, which feels like it gets closer to what you need. While FITEC and Sundrum's profit may be distorted by subsidies, their respective profits are still based on production and sale of comparable merchandise, unlike the other financial statements on the record.
This is true. I apologize, Your Honor. I was actually responding to the question about comparing those records, subsidized records, with the other financial statements on the record as well.
Doesn't that sentence make that comparison?
Yes, it does.
Put it mildly in rather short form?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
Yes, it does. And so to pull this all together, Commerce, its goal is to arrive at constructed value profit based on a comparison of like or comparable merchandise.
Right. So I just want to push ahead to what I think is really in dispute. One way of putting the argument is that sentence is kind of all there is, the one that we were just talking about, and it's not enough because at least previously, the Commerce had said Sundrum's products were really not terribly comparable. Different purchasers, automotive manufacturers were buying them. They were kind of high-end fasteners, not, penny steel nails or something. And an explanation is needed for why that previous determination about non-comparability is now being reversed, in effect. And it's not just a standalone reversal. It's a comparison to, I'm just going to keep using Al Jazeera, which seems to be the feature, the non-comparability determination about Al Jazeera. Why is that non-comparability worse than the one it had previously found for Sundrum? That's my understanding of the argument.
Absolutely, Your Honor. And your question anticipated exactly where I was going here. Commerce prefers to calculate a constructive value profit based on comparable merchandise. This is a fact. Al Jazeera does not make comparable merchandise. It's not steel nails. It's not the general category of goods that steel nails falls within, which is
fasteners, right?
Well, but the only problem is I think that this goes to Judge Taranto's earlier question to your opponent, which was related to if you previously found Sundrum's products are not reasonably comparable, then how is it an answer to say Al Jazeera's products are not reasonably comparable?
The answer is that steel bars and tubes and hollows fall within a completely disparate category of goods.
But where did Commerce
say
that?
Nails.
I understand your argument today, and I appreciate that what you're arguing to me today is, well, even though both of them are not comparable, one is much worse in terms of comparability than the other, like degrees of not comparable. Where did Commerce do that detailed assessment? Because I think that's what Mr. House is complaining about, is that there isn't that analysis in this opinion for us to look at.
On page 28 of the appendix, at the bottom, where it says in the instant case, there are 11 financial statements on the record. Commerce goes on to discuss the six Omani companies that do not produce steel nails or any type of merchandise comparable enough to steel nails to satisfy the statutory preferences, and the federal this court has upheld our decision to rely instead on the third country data on the record, which better reflect the profit experience of the mandatory respondent. Now, with that said, Your Honor, previously, Commerce made a determination that 9 financial statements on the record were either of goods that are completely dissimilar, and what that means is that they're not sold in the same trade. They do not involve similar types of operations for manufacturing the goods. They do not have the same customer base.
I don't see any of that in this opinion. Where is that in this opinion? Those are great arguments, and if Commerce had said all of that, we wouldn't be here today.
Actually, Commerce it's in the record, but not in this determination, Your Honor.
And did they say it with regard to the direct comparison between, say, Al Jazeera and what's the other one? Does Toronto help me out?
Sundrum.
Yeah.
On page 40, I believe, it didn't directly refer to Al Jazeera, but it referred to the profit from production and sale of comparable merchandise, unlike the 6 Omani financial statement. They contain the necessary information to confirm the company's data is reliable, unlike the 3 partially translated financial statements. And they are contemporaneous with the record, unlike Hi-Tech. I want to clarify a question or an answer to a question. I do not know that I answered it, quite frankly. Previously, Commerce had declined to use the records of 9 financial statements on the record, 6 of which were from Oman, 3 of which were partially translated financial statements, Your Honor. It had reduced the comparative analysis to 2 companies, those 2 companies being Hi-Tech and Sundrum's. Therefore, the analysis that was before this court in Mid-Continent 3 really pertain to just those 2 companies. And Commerce had not engaged in any substantive analysis of subsidies. There was no reason for it to then discuss also the other companies that the court had quite frankly affirmed its decision on. So,
I think you're actually kind of getting it. The heart of the process question here. So you want to essentially say certain issues the book was closed on and Commerce didn't need to reconsider, even though, and I think the other side wants to say, whether the book was closed on them depends on what effect a error in what is ultimately a global comparative assessment has on the things that otherwise are closed. And it seems to me as, I don't know, as I'm not quite sure what to make of the idea that when the only thing that in the end matters is whether the global assessment has reasonably resulted in the choice of X here, Sundrum, and that requires a comparison between all the other choices, and just because all the other nine had been excluded when no subsidy problem was seen with Hi-Tech and Sundrum doesn't mean that they were properly excluded once you see that there's a subsidy problem.
I understand, Your Honor. And the answer to this question is that Commerce actually did review all of the 11 statements again. Commerce actually made a similar determination to the determinations that it previously made with respect to nine of them. There is a reason why the nine other financial statements were not usable for Commerce's purposes. The reason is that Commerce, for approximately 20 years, has been using a standard that basically looks at the merchandise itself in the first instance. So when you're doing an analysis of financial statements...
So when you go back to the earlier Commerce analysis, and I guess I'm thinking particularly at what's at appendix page 3265 and following, it's the May 13th, 2015, I don't know what these things are called, memorandum, issues and decision memorandum, right? Where there's some discussion, at least at 3279, of the equipment used for, I guess, these other six Omani companies making a different product. Is there anything in there or elsewhere where Commerce says, it's true that for Sundrum, the fasteners are not exactly steel nails, but they are in kind of the next level up category of fasteners, and the ones from the six Omani companies are not, and that makes... And that makes a big difference.
I thought they said that in this remand determination, Your Honor.
And which remand determination? The one that
the one that is before the court right now, Your Honor.
Well, I would love to see that because I think that's the heart of what Mr. House says is the problem, that they didn't make it.
On page 26, appendix page 26, Commerce explained that Hi-Tech's financial statements were superior to those of the Omani producers on the record because none of the six Omani companies on the record produced merchandise comparable to steel nails or in the same general category as steel nails.
That's the top of page 27, right?
Yes. Okay. That's where it continues to, Your Honor.
So a version of that argument is, well, there at least is a reason why kind of the non-identity of Al Jazeera and Oman fasteners is worse than the non-identity of Sundrum versus Oman fasteners.
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Never mind.
I think I'll try and reclassify what he just said because I think it's important, and I think it's actually a friendly question for you.
Yeah,
which is, here you show why it was okay to reject from a technical standpoint certain of the kinds of imports because they were more dissimilar than the ones that you considered.
Correct, Your Honor. And there, the balance of that sentence actually states that comparable merchandise comprised a greater portion of Hi-Tech sales revenue than Sundrum's. Sundrum actually does make...
That's not helpful.
Yeah, no.
Well, but it does actually make screws, whereas the six Omani companies, they don't make screws. Commerce made a determination that...
But Sundrum doesn't either.
Sundrum makes screws.
It does make screws.
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Sundrum makes auto parts and screws. And Commerce, when it made its determination here, it accounted for the fact that Sundrum made other products that were dissimilar. So it focused its attention on the products that are comparable and at least fall within the same class or kind.
This is shifting gears a little bit. Why did Commerce not say that the amount of the subsidy on the record for Sundrum was infinitesimally small? It could not possibly have affected the profit?
The short answer is I don't know.
Okay.
However, based upon what I do know, they don't go beyond what's actually stated in the financial statements themselves. All they could do is state what the figure was, and that is what they did.
Well, I thought the financial statement itself reveals, here's the subsidy, it's like $3 or something, I'm making that up, and the, you know, the revenue is, you know, $50,000 or something. It's just, it can't possibly change anything.
Commerce had previously, I believe in another case, found that countervailable, and I believe they state that in a footnote somewhere in the remand determination, Your Honor. And so, and accepting that they had previously done that, they left it at that. I believe my time is up.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honors. I apologize for exceeding my time.
Mr. Gordon, we just heard from the government for 18 and a half minutes. So please, if you have something that is completely different that you feel is important, please proceed, but we're not going to entertain a repeat.
No, and I have no interest in that either. I would just offer one or two very brief points. One factor that I think should be brought out when the comparison between Hi-Tech and Sundrum is made is to keep in mind the difference in time periods covered by those financial statements. The Sundrum statement covers precisely the same period of time and reflects accordingly same economic conditions of the period of investigation, whereas the Hi-Tech financial statement...
What about the Al Jazeera statement?
I don't recall their contemporaneity.
Okay.
I don't think Commerce got to that point because of the such fundamental difference in the products produced. And just to make a point, it's on the record, keep in mind those six companies that were rejected, they weren't just producing steel bars and rounds, corrugated box containers. There's a company that provides large-scale construction services like a Bechtel. So, I mean, they're very, very radically different. And, you know, their financial statements don't have any sort of comparison to the kinds of processes and markets and customer base that are reflected in a producer of fasteners. And to the point about Sundrum's production, it does produce auto parts, but it also is a significant producer of high-tensile fasteners, and they're produced with the same methods, materials, sold for same uses, fastening surfaces together.
I happen to know the percentage of Sundrum's sales that are directed to auto fasteners, and I'd like to ask you, but is that confidential information before I ask that question? I don't want to...
No.
Okay, so my understanding is 36% of their sales are directed to fasteners, and that's what you're saying is more comparable, right? Like that, is that...
Yeah, that's a significant percentage of the company's...
And that's why I'm wondering how that compares to the other companies and their... Because it's clear Sundrum is in multiple markets, some of which you're arguing is more comparable, some of which is less comparable. How does that 36% number of their sales compare to other record companies here? And does it make it better that Commerce used them for some reason or worse?
I'd say it makes it better because if you look at the six that were rejected in that sort of iterative process, they produce zero, you know, none. No, they don't produce fasteners at all. And so Commerce naturally, you know, removed them from consideration, consistent with the approach that the court had previously affirmed. I'm not saying they considered the book closed. They went back and reviewed all of them anew, but they used the same approach that the court had previously found to be acceptable. So getting to Sundrum with 36%, fasteners. I mean, that's a material. I mean, that's a substantial part of their business, and they are then a producer of comparable merchandise, even though they make other dissimilar products as well.
Okay.
That's it for me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, no, I wasn't waiting. I was having change, given 5 minutes. Sorry.
Your Honors, we heard the government concede that it did not examine subsidies. It merely acknowledged them. We also heard it concede that it engaged in a comparison of Hitech to Sundrum only. We believe that was contrary to this court's instructions. Furthermore, on this question of comparability, the Commerce Department has still failed to explain its complete about face on its finding with regard to Sundrum's products. In the fair value investigation, the original investigation, the agency determined that Sundrum's products were not comparable. You'll find that at 3279 of the appendix. And they rejected Sundrum along with, and for the same reason as, all of the home market statements. And again, in the first remand in this proceeding, which you'll find at 3405, the Commerce Department stated again that Sundrum's that not only is the majority of Sundrum's products not related to fasteners, auto parts, which they conclude are not comparable to Steel Nails, but importantly, this agency stated Sundrum's fastening products are not comparable to either screws or steel nails.
Okay, but I guess the question is twofold. One, the government pointed us to the portion of the opinion where they said, okay, look, they might not be comparable, but they're a lot closer than the other things. You know, that sentence, I don't remember what page it was in the board's decision, that they're much closer. That, you know, there's not comparable, and then there's really not comparable, and that the Sundrum products are at least closer.
Well, Your Honor, we submit that the record does not show the kind of comparison between Sundrum and the Omani home market steel producer statements that would allow the agency to reach that conclusion. And in addition, the agency did not engage in the comparative analysis of the admittedly subsidized statement, Sundrum, against these other so-called non-comparable statements. The analysis simply isn't there for this court to
affirm.
Well,
and the other problem I have with what you just said before was you said the majority is not related to fasteners, and I think that Mr. Gordon's point was that, well, 36% of the Sundrum sales are fastener-related compared to 0% of the excluded six statements. So, I mean, while I don't think you would disagree. It's not the majority. 36% is not 51%. So I think that's an unremarkable statement. Why, though, isn't 36% make it more relevant than ones that have 0%?
Your Honor, we come back to the statutory language, which under this third alternative for constructed value profit puts a priority on home market representativeness. You'll find this throughout the cases, throughout Commerce's decision.
I don't understand how that answers my question.
That is to say, when Commerce must depart from a source of profit that is the very company under investigation, which it had to do in this case, when it selects a source of profit under the option three, which is the any reasonable method subsection of the statute that applies here, you'll find language there that says that however, when it makes that selection, it must take account of the home market. That is, the purpose of selecting a profit rate is to reflect the home market experience of a producer. These are third country statements we're talking about, both Sundrum and Hitech. So the agency not only failed to explain the effect of the subsidy and the comparative deficiency of the subsidy to these home market statements, they also failed to weigh the comparative value of having home market profit experience in Oman by these steel producers compared to third country profit experience of these subsidized statements. And finally, I would note that the government made the point that the parties made this record. Well, the record is lacking what the Commerce Department needs to analyze subsidies. It admitted so and chose not to do so. The petitioner is the one who populated this record with those two subsidized statements. And so, if anything, it's the other side that failed to provide the Commerce Department with the record evidence sufficient to engage in this analysis.
Okay, that seems like a good place to conclude.
Thank you.
Thank all counsel. This case is taken under submission.